fun. I love it. Right, kids, I need you. We're going to do 5 minutes. I'm going to talk for 5 minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that okay? As I said, at the start of the service, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take Jesus very seriously. And we got something really exciting again for you to be involved in, kids, in a few minutes. So once I'm done talking, there's going to be something we need your help with. But I wanted to just spend 5 minutes talking to us about hope. I don't know, you might have even passed one of these bridges in Kentish Town. They're everywhere. There's one if you, that's just at the bottom of Grafton Road. There's one if you walk towards by Gospel Oak underneath the train station. They're everywhere. And hope is like a funny word, isn't it? It's like we use it a lot. Like even as I'm saying it, if I said to you, what are you hoping for? Just think in your mind now, what is maybe one thing you're hoping for at the moment? Kids, it could be a Christmas present. Sammy. Tell me in my microphone, what do you want for Christmas? Can you remember? You say it, Paw Patrol Lookout Tower. Paw Patrol Lookout Tower. That is what Sammy is hoping for. Only the Paw Patrol Lookout Tower will suffice, I think. I asked Izzy this morning, how would we describe hope? And she said it was hoping for, you hope for something that might happen. That's how she described it, as a six-year-old. Last night, our hope was on Harry Kane and Bukayo Saka and these lads. It's got him, right? Harry Kane, that second penalty, you just devastate him. Shouldn't have taken it, maybe. But like, we understand hope. Like outside of church, we understand hope. We hear so many songs that are about hope. It's coming home. It's not a boastful song, it's a hopeful song. Yeah? Who knows the song Don't Stop Believing? Yeah? The old Journey song? Hope. Eye of the Tiger. For those of you who grew up watching Rocky, it's a song of hope, anticipation of what's to come. Queens, We Are the Champions. We'll keep on fighting to the end. Do, 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 do. It's all about hope. We're going to be the champions. I'll give you a lyric. Kids, I reckon you might know this one. Right. It's funny how some distances make everything seem small, and the fear that once controlled me can't get to me at all. Do you know where that's from? Yeah. You know, Susanna. You said yes. Come on, Susanna. We know. Oh, Barbara, go on. Frozen. This is one of the verses in Let It Go. You'll be listening out to that now, but if you get it back up again, that quote, that it's funny how sometimes distance makes everything so small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. But it sort of brings a sense of perspective. When Elsa's singing, she's singing about the things that once controlled me. I'm not going to let them control me anymore. With football, many of you have been watching England for years. Some of you in here might even remember 1966. But the phrase that I grew up watching, Southampton, and is always the hope that kills you. The hope that something, that we might win, that we might do something, that we might actually beat France, we might win another World Cup. It's the hope that kills you. And we hope, when we hope and that thing doesn't happen, that's actually when it's disappointing, right? There might be things you're looking forward to this Christmas, you're hoping they might be happen, or things you look back in your past that you hoped for, and it leaves you disappointed. Even right now, you might be hoping for a new job, new home, new partner, for money, for gifts, for Christmas presents. And actually, we, as humans, we hope. We hope for many things. There's this quote from Martin Luther King. He says, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. And as Christians, there's a reason we celebrate Christmas. Because we have this infinite hope. And we have a peace in some ways that we do know that we will face finite disappointments. That we will find sadness. Whether it's football, whether it's things that are much more serious than football. Actually, we believe in the hope that is Jesus. It's why, whilst we're having fun doing a nativity, it's humbling to talk about Jesus. This is what it says in Isaiah 9, about this was predicted hundreds of years before Jesus was born. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And for those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestors David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Jesus came to this earth ultimately not just so we can do nice nativities. Not at all. Ultimately, it was to bring justice, to bring peace, to bring comfort, and to bring hope. Because of Jesus, we have this hope that is not a finite thing. And ultimately, we will never be let down by him. Jesus said that one day he will return. So whilst he's not on earth now, 2,000 years ago when he was, he said he'd be back. And in the Bible, it says of this day when Jesus returns, in Revelation, the last book in the Bible, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. That's why Jesus came to this earth. Not to make our lives better as such, not to give us necessarily what we need, but to give us an infinite hope that goes well beyond the challenges we face in life. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I know that you're probably facing some kind of challenges. And sometimes you're like, oh, I hope this happens. I hope this happens. And I get that. But want to encourage you this morning that we have a hope that goes way beyond any of that in Jesus. That's why we gather. Because we recognise that Jesus came to this earth to love us, to care for us, and give an opportunity to us to have this eternal hope. We're going to be hearing in a moment about Chris Dingles and Jesus being the light of the world. And it starts in that Isaiah passage. Light was shone into darkness so that we might see the light. Jesus said this of himself in John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. If you've been in church at all in your life, you probably have heard that passage, right? But it's really important that in all of this, the thing we take most seriously about Jesus is he came not to condemn, but to love, to provide a way that we might be made right with God. And if this is your first time ever hearing anything like this, then we'd love to chat with you. We'd love to share with you. You're very welcome. Every Sunday, we sort of have a couple of services and we just celebrate what God's doing in our lives. Someone asked me yesterday, we were on the Crescent singing carols, and I said, what's your church like? And I went, it's just a load of people learning how to love and care who realise they're loved by Jesus. A community. We're not really about religious things, we're about being a community. So if you're exploring, want to know more, then please come along. We meet here every Sunday, and it's been a pleasure to share with you. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to have the Chris Dingle, so kids, you can get involved. Kids, thank you so much for listening. You did really well. And we even got a bit of Frozen in there, hey? Lord Jesus, thank you that when you came to this earth, you came to love, not to condemn. Thank you that we might all be saved by you. And I pray, Lord, that at this time of year, Lord, where we can think about so many things we might be hoping for, things in the new year, things for gifts, thank you, Lord, that ultimately we can hope in you. That infinite hope, Lord, that will never disappoint. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here who doesn't yet know that, Lord, I pray that they would know that this morning, Lord, that they can put their hope and their trust in you, Jesus. Thank you for listening. I'm going to hand over to Joe, who's going to help us for this next moment.
Brilliant. We're just going to put up a picture. So this is the next sort of, it's the last part of our service that we're doing today. We want everybody to get involved. So we were watching University Challenge, which we never watch, right? Came on. We were watching it. We're so hopeless that we try and get one question if we can, right? So we thought we're going to watch it until we get a question we can answer. This was this week, right? They asked this question. See if you can answer it. They said, what is celebrated using a fruit and a candle and was first celebrated by the Moravian Christians 250 years ago? And we put up our hands. Yes, we know it's Chris Dingle. So Chris Dingle arrived on University Challenge this week. I was amazed. Actually, most of them looked at it, all the very, very clever people being asked the very difficult questions by a very grumpy man, actually, the guy who does it. But they mostly looked blankly and thought, no, we really don't know what Chris Dingle is. You know, we've never heard of this, apart from one bright spark who did know, and he got points for his team. I think he was from the University of Cambridge, so we are very impressed by that. So Chris Dingle, what is Chris Dingle? It's celebrated all across the world now, literally, actually, millions of children across the world in Africa and Asia and South America and Europe celebrate Chris Dingle this Christmas. And here in Little Bassett Street Church, we're going to do the same. So there's the picture of it. Nice picture, turquoise background. That's what we're going to make in a moment. The word Chris Dingle means, it means fire. It means Christ fire. It's got this beautiful meaning, or Christ light. And the very first Chris Dingle took place 275 years ago on December the 20th, 1747, probably in a freezing cold church in Moravia, which is now Germany. And they celebrated that service among the Moravian Christians. Now, on that day, a man called, one of their leaders called John de Wattville. Wouldn't you like to be called John de Wattville? I think that's a very grand name. He stood up and he brought all the children, which is what we're going to do in a minute, to the front of the church. And he prayed this amazing prayer. He prayed this: Lord Jesus, light a flame in the hearts of these dear children. I love the bit about the dear children. We consider the children here to be very dear and very precious. And that's when the first Chris Dingle was made. And then they added to that, because those children only had an orange and a candle. We've added all these other bits and pieces. So in a moment, we're going to give out everybody who would like to make a Chris Dingle. So starting with the children, I think there's enough for the teens and the children, if they want to make one. In a second, we're going to give it out. We're just going to quickly find out what the parts of the Chris Dingle meant. So we're going to put the picture up and I'm going to see if the kids know. So is there a picture of the Chris Dingle at the end in the dark? Yes. Look, this is Blue Peter. So I made one earlier. Look at that. So one of the guys who's got the candles, could you come and light? Who's got the matches? I gave out lots of matches. Who's got a match? Could someone quickly come and light it? Oh yeah, well done. Brilliant. So we're going to light this. Hang on. Very exciting. When we actually do this in a minute, we're going to turn the lights out. So there it is lit. Okay, brilliant. Wow. Isabella, I might need you to hold it for me. That would just be brilliant. Otherwise, I feel this is a naked flame and we are going to actually light them. So we are going to be super careful. We went to Canterbury Cathedral and we lit candles. This was about 2 weeks ago. And the bishop at the front was very strict about not moving them and not setting fire to people's hair or fringes. So we had to be very careful. So we can do that in a minute. So what does the orange, it's all symbolic. It's got all these symbols. It's got all these meanings. What does the orange mean? Can any of the children tell me? Yes, Joshy. Yeah, brilliant. It means the earth, it means the world, and it means all of us, okay. What does the red ribbon going round it mean? Does anybody know? It'd be great if we knew what these things meant, otherwise it doesn't mean very much. Yeah, Abby, what do you think? Yeah, Jesus' love, brilliantly put, okay. The Bible says, and Luke showed that verse, that God had such a love for the world that he gave Jesus Christ, his only son, to take away the sins of the whole earth. That's what the Bible says. That's the message of Chris Dingle. Then what do you think is the light, the flame, the little flame on the top? Yes, sort of. What else could it mean? Asoye? Say it again. A light in the darkness. What else could it mean? Yeah, Ed. Yes, the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will never walk in darkness. If you go into a dark room, you don't rush around trying to get the dark out. What